Well, welcome to Footnotes for Faith, where each week we take a few minutes to expand our understanding of the Christian faith, connect Scripture to life, and consider the claims of Jesus. I'm your host, Scott Fisher, pastor at Delaware Valley Christian Church in Media, Pennsylvania, just outside of the city of Philadelphia. It's great to have you with us again on this episode of Footnotes for Faith, and appreciate again all those that are listening in, and appreciate also those that send in comments and encouragement, questions, and suggestions for topics and future podcasts. Keep those coming, and we really appreciate that, and we're glad that the podcast has been an encouragement and a help to many. Well, this week I had an amazing experience on Sunday morning. As I always say at the beginning, I'm a pastor at Delaware Valley Christian Church, and I have the opportunity to pastor there. I'm in my seventh year at Delaware Valley Christian Church. It's a joy to work together with the folks there and to pastor that church. And this Sunday, I was in my office preparing for the service, as I always do, and looking over my sermon. And it's always the last minute things to do and check out on a Sunday morning. And one of the men in our church came and said, "Hey, Pastor, there's a couple of gentlemen out here that want to talk to you." And I said, "Oh, okay." And I went out in the hallway, and there were two of my best friends from high school. These are guys that I've known since seventh grade. I grew up, as I mentioned in the past, in Connecticut, and we all went to the same private school together. So this, you're going back, you know, we graduated 45 years ago, so you're going back many, many years to 1973 when we first met. And these guys have stayed close with me, among several other really close friends. And they drove all the way down from Connecticut that morning, which is about, well, they made it in 3 hours, which is amazing, but it's about a 3.5-4 hour trip. And they came so they could see the church where I was pastoring and also have a chance to hear me preach in person. To say I was surprised is definitely an understatement. And to say I was overwhelmed with joy and with being so touched that they would take all of this time to come down and just be with me was just incredible. And it was such a great morning, and they stayed for the service, of course, and then we went out for lunch, and then they drove all the way back up to Connecticut that same day. And for one of them, it was actually his birthday. So it was just an overwhelming experience for me, but it really wasn't surprising in the sense of the kind of friendship that I have with these guys and several other guys as well that I'll mention later. Because this is the kind of friendship we've had over the years. It's lasted all of these years, and these bonds that were formed in our early years and the things that we went through in our lives and the way that we've stayed connected over the years is incredible, and has added so much richness to my life. In fact, this group of guys, we stay connected on a daily basis. We text each other on a daily basis. We do some competition, some crossword puzzle stuff that you can do online with each other, and stay connected that way. And it's been incredible. And so that got me thinking about friendship and the significance of friendship and what Scripture has to say, and got me reflecting in a very reflective mindset about that whole topic and why these relationships with these guys that I've had all these years mean so much to me. And I was thinking, I'm just going to share some thoughts I have about friendship and when we think about Scripture and about life. And one of them that I really was pondering this week was the fact that Jesus was not a loner. Jesus was not a loner. When you look at the Gospels, think about it from this perspective. It tells us in Mark chapter 3, 13 to 15, that Jesus picked 12 to be with him, is the way Mark says it. And so these, out of all of Jesus' disciples and followers, he picked these 12, which he called apostles. Of course, we know the 12 apostles. And he picked them so that they might be with him. And so Jesus, during his ministry for 3 years, traveled around with this group. They slept in the same places. They were always together, always having conversations, as sometimes Jesus would slip away into lonely places and pray alone, and they'd have to go find him. But he spent 3 concentrated years with these individuals. And so Jesus was not a loner. He wasn't someone that isolated himself. He had these deep, deep relationships with his apostles. He said to them near the end of his ministry in Luke chapter 22, verse 28, Jesus said to them, "You are those who have stayed with me in my trials. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials." And that's such a picture of friendship. They were Jesus' friends, and he called them friends. And they were those that stood by him in his trials. And what's interesting is one of the deepest pains that Jesus experienced and the biggest agonies he experienced was the betrayal of one of those 12, Judas. And we see a prophecy in the scriptures in the book of Psalms about this betrayal of that Judas performed. And it's found in Psalm 55, verses 12 to 14, where the psalmist says this, "For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng." Within God's house, we walked in the throng. So, and this is considered a messianic prophecy that we believe was fulfilled in Judas as he betrayed Jesus. But the pain and the agony comes through here where he says, it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. And there's nothing more painful than being betrayed by a friend, by someone that we considered to be someone who cared about us, someone who would be there for us, someone who we opened up to. And the pain of the betrayal is in proportion to the amount of love and relationship that we shared together. And so there is a lot in Scripture about friendship and the significance of friendship, because it all revolves around the importance and the need that we have as human beings to have these kind of very meaningful connections with other human beings. It says in Proverbs 17:17, and I'm going to read this from the Living Bible, it says, "A true friend is always loyal. A true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need." A true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. And that's what our friends are, right? Our friends are truly our brothers, or if they're female friends, our sisters. Proverbs 18:24, also in the Living Bible, says, "There are friends, quote unquote, who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Proverbs 18:24. So there are those that we might call acquaintances, or those that act like they're our friends, but then there are those that stick closer than a brother. And I believe that when we consider our understanding of who the nature of God as Christians, we believe that the Scripture teaches that God is exists in a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That God is one God, there's only one God, but that he exists eternally in three persons, and that we are created in the image of God. And so in the nature of God himself, within his character, and within his essence, there are three persons, and we can't fully understand that. We can't fully get our mind around that. But that explains why we as humans created in God's image have this tremendous need for connection with other human beings. Why the connection that we have with other human beings is so powerful and important when we connect on a heart level. And that's why these friendships are so meaningful and so important for us. And during the pandemic, it became even clearer, and it has become even clearer, how isolated we are as Americans, especially from each other, how isolated and how lonely many people are. And of course, the pandemic only made that worse. And in fact, it was during the pandemic that these friends of mine, we got together through Zoom, and that's when one of them suggested that we stay connected on a daily basis through competing with each other on the mini crossword puzzle from the New York Times that you can do online. And so ever since then, I guess it's been about 2.5 years, we connect every day about the crossword puzzle, but that really is just an opportunity to stay connected in each other's lives. And it's been so enriching to keep that connection, but we need that connection. That's the way God made us, I believe. And that's one of the values of community in general, but especially for those of us that are followers of Jesus in terms of our Christian faith and our walk, we really need that community of other believers, and that's what's provided in the church. And that's why when people, it's not, you know, going to church or being involved in a church is not just about attending the worship, which it is important, but it's really about that connection that we need to make with others. And I like to say it this way, that we need God with a capital N. That's our largest and biggest need, is God. But we need others with a small N, meaning we still, as humans, need each other. In other words, we can exist and survive without others when necessary. That's happened throughout history. But it's not our normal state. It's not the healthy state that we need to be in. We really do need others. And just as Jesus surrounded himself with people, we see in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, who's, you know, great Apostle Paul, who had so many missionary journeys and was in so many difficult circumstances, he himself was a networker, I would call him. He had all kinds of connections. And when you read the epistles in the New Testament, you see that. And one striking example of that is at the end of the book of Romans, which is a great theological book in terms of explaining salvation and the gospel. At the end of Romans, in Romans 16, Paul identifies all kinds of people. He just lists names of people that he had connections with. And it really ends on that note of just a list of names. And we know that ultimately, if others let us down, that God is still there. At the end of his life, Paul said this when he was on trial. He said, at my first defense, 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. He says, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. So we remember that even when we are alone or abandoned by others, we are confident, as Paul, that the Lord still stands with us and strengthens us. But our normal and desired state is to be in connection with other people. And when I talk about this kind of friendship connection, I'm talking about people who really know us, people who know the real us, people that we can really be open with. And so I guess I'd ask, do you have relationships like this? Do you have any relationships like this that you can really be totally open with the other person? We don't need many of those. It's hard to have those that depth of a relationship with many people, but we need somebody. And if not, I would encourage you to make a connection or seek out the avenues where you can make that kind of connection. If you're a follower of Jesus, seek a place of connection in a community of faith where you can be. And it takes time to make those connections. It doesn't happen quickly. And if you do have those connections, cherish them and preserve them. Among my greatest joys is the fact that I've been able to, with the grace of God, and preserve these connections with these friends from my high school years and even earlier, junior high school years. And there are significant events that I went through, and I've mentioned maybe before on the podcast, the death of my father through suicide when I was 15, and how devastating that was to me and to our family. And that happened when I was in my sophomore year of high school, and it was during that year that I was separated from my friends that I had known in 7th and 8th grade and 9th grade. And these are the guys that I am connected with so closely still. And it was a really hard year. It was a terrible year for me that year. And we didn't have the funds as a family to go back to the private school that I had been in with these guys. And I've told these guys that one time I was at a basketball game at the private school, and headmaster came over and basically made it possible and asked me if I wanted to come back to school, and he worked it out that I got a scholarship to go back, and that's how I went back for 11th and 12th grade and graduated with them. And I've said it's not overly stating it to say I think in many ways that saved my life, because I needed so desperately these friends around me. And so we have these deep connections that go back all these years, and I cherish those friendships, and I believe those are gifts from God to my life. And so having these guys come down and be at the church and take that time to be with me meant so much. And I know any of these other friends would have been there as well had they been able to. And we visit each other as we're able to, and it means so much. And So I hope for and wish for you the same kind of connections. And if you have those, cherish them and strengthen them. And if you don't, seek those out. Seek out those kinds of connections, because it's very, very helpful for us. And it's definitely helpful in our spiritual walk and in our emotional life. And so I want to dedicate this podcast to, I've had many friends over the years, but I want to dedicate this podcast in particular to these friends that I made starting back in seventh grade, the ones that we stay connected. And so I'm dedicating this podcast to Fran, to Jeff, to Jamie, to Lauren, and to Rich. You've been there for me. You're loyal, true friends with whom it's been a joy to share life's journey. And so I dedicate this to you guys. Well, thanks again for listening. If you enjoy Footnotes for Faith, please take a second to leave a 5-star rating on whatever platform you listen to the show on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Your feedback helps us reach more people and continue to improve the show. And as always, you can email feedback, questions, or suggestions for future episodes directly to footnotespod@visitdvcc.org. And Fisher Media is the producer of Footnotes for Faith. Well, thanks for listening. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.